Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the fabulous, the fluoridated, the Fukushima irradiated. Of course, we have no idea how Fukushima irradiated is, because they stopped testing the seawater for radiation like halfway through last year, when it started to get really bad, of course. I love the way this country covers itself up. You know, look, ladies and gentlemen, we're the least corrupt country in the world. Allegedly. So you know, if you've got problems and you can't get yourself a Cayman Island bank account or Swiss bank account or something like that, you need a corrupt place to help shield you from the International Monetary Fund and all of that kind of stuff, come on down to New Zealand. We are the Cayman Islands of the South Pacific, and there's only three islands. Well, there's also a whole bunch of other little minor ones, but they suck. You know, trust me, I used to live on one of them. My very special guest is, commonly known in the Monty Python-esque thing, Bryony. Bryony Holmes, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinny.
Now, you have a very good confidant here in New Zealand named Franz Stradner, who donated a good portion to the Vinnie Eastwood Show earlier this year, and he asked if I'd put your book on the website for a couple of months, and I said, yeah, well, why not? You know, doesn't make too much of a difference to me, and it would actually help somebody get some of their work out there. All too happy to do it. And today, we're going to be talking to you for up to 2 hours about your book.
So excellent. Could you please, thank you very much for having me.
So go right ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
At the moment, researching everything possible. I'm addicted to finding out the truth and trying to deduce as much as I can to a point of recurring information and theories and ideas. Through that, I found myself writing a book called The Range of Illusion, which is the one that is on your website. It's a part of a series that I'm working on. I'm writing the sequel as we speak. But yeah, it's my first book in the series. It is a dystopian parallel universe called Gaia, which mirrors a lot of the issues that we face in today's society. I wrote it with the guise that I was learning a lot of information and I really wanted to share it with people, but in a palatable sense, because I'd rooted through all this information and wanted people to have access to it, but in a way that was delivered in an action adventure, which was kind of fun and had some humor going on too, which I found was very important. And somebody has commented in the past, which was actually Fran, bless him, that it resides a lot with George Orwell's 1984 and the Celestine Prophecy, James Redfield's book, which is a huge compliment because I've got great respect for both those novels. But it combines a bit of conspiracy and possibly what could happen in the future with self-development and growing as a human within a bit of evolution as the self. Yeah, that's what I have so far.
Well, could you describe what evolution of the self is?
Evolution of the self. I think we're all faced with trials and tribulations, especially given the media and the expectations of who we're supposed to be in society. A lot of us struggle with trying to understand our true selves with those expectations. Say, for example, the 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job to pay for bills which are exorbitant, or one of those expectations, and not being given the time, especially after the 2008 crash, to actually be able to spend time with yourself and your family and develop as a human being. You could use the word spiritual. You could. There's all sorts of different ways that different people from different backgrounds would view it. For me, I would say it was a spiritual experience, not necessarily a God as such, but I find finding yourself is it's a special opportunity that few people are able to have access to.
Well, can we talk about this in a broader sense? Because I feel that personal evolution often, when it's at its best, is a very holistic, overarching evolution, like everything changes, preferably for the better. And I'm not 100% sure in the modern context, looking at how humanity is working, that I really believe in that evolution anymore. I believe in devolution, though, because I see marked evidence of it.
Mm-hmm. I think there's elements where people can take a form of positivity in educating themselves, being able to be in a position where they can have the tools to react appropriately and have an understanding. I mean, we all go through growth periods as humans, which are quite painful, transitional periods. I mean, when I was writing this book, I certainly went through some moments of panic because I didn't really see the brightness at the end of the tunnel. But there are ways to discover aspects such as that. I mean, there's that great documentary Thrive out there, which does deal with a lot of this heavy, heavy information and gives that light that's necessary at the end of the tunnel, especially dealing with this kind of information. And there's so much out there, and a lot of it is quite negative. I think meditation is a good thing. I think that intrinsically valuing yourself as a human being within this society, as opposed to being just another number in the system, is a really important factor too, which goes back to what I was saying before of that Monday to Friday, 9-till-5, or which is realistically probably 9-till-midnight nowadays. 70-hour work weeks, which doesn't allow for the time for people to do that. I mean, reading a beautiful book or listening to a beautiful piece of music can really transform your perception in the moment. And that's what I try to do, I think.
Mm. Well, I was just thinking about Thrive. Funny you should mention that just earlier before coming on the show about the Taurus and how everything's a feedback system. Is that part of what evolving, let's say, I don't know, your intelligence, just for an example, is really about? Is about being able to hold all of those simultaneous views so that they feed back into each other and replenish and constantly question themselves. I was thinking that's basically what wisdom is, isn't it? Holding two conflicting points of view simultaneously.
And being able to find a balance within it. Yeah, definitely. I love that you mentioned the Taurus in that. It's a spectacular way of viewing it as a whole and as a big picture. I mean, you have to have balance in the world. You can't have all positivity. You've got to balance it out with something else. Unfortunately, it seems to be the way the cookie crumbles. It's just we're a little bit heavy on the negative aspects of society at the moment, and not enough people are aware of what is going on out there. Their ignorance is bliss for a lot of people. So I think that's the biggest struggle, is trying to discuss it with people and trying to find somebody to share these ideas with. I mean, that was partially why I wrote The Range of Illusion, because I had all this information in my head and I had friends to share it with, but it had to come out in an artistic form and it had to come out with some positivity, and hence the sort of Celestine prophecy tilt of the self-development of the self, and being able to manifest positivity within negative situations. The Taurus, I would agree with 100%. I love that you brought that up.
Well, and it, at the same time that I was thinking that, I was also thinking, you know, you can change situations in front of you, but the simultaneous contradictory viewpoint is one from Ayn Rand, is that you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yeah, I agree with that. I haven't actually heard that one before.
Well, she was like way back in the 50s or something like that. And it occurs to me that if you're going to be talking about fiction, another thing that comes to mind is that quote from Viva Vendetta. Is that, what was it? My father said that artists use lies to tell the truth while politicians use lies to cover it up.
Interesting way of doing it. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, my book, granted, I did replace certain names with alternative titles. So it's I would say there is a distruth in that, just because of at the time of writing it, there was a concern about the different organizations that I was writing about. So for those who are in the know, they'll pick up on it, and it could be almost a satire in a sense. For those not so much, hopefully it'll trigger some interest and they'll ask me about it, because I am readily available via my email. I make a point of that in case people are interested as to where the concepts came from.
Oh, perhaps you want to have a supplementary thing to go out with the book, you know, like a special edition, etc., that has backgrounder or information based upon the things of it, you know, how they the Aliens films, they did a special making of, like a remake of their making of, to have a look at the entire series in retrospect and what everything truly meant at the time
with the symbolism and everything. Yeah, it's something I have been considering. I am developing a blog very gently at the moment, because it is a sort of, I'm not technologically savvy. I'm trying to be. I'm learning. But there will be ideas that are put into that. There's a heavy focus on certain aspects, such as the trigger to what brought me to writing about the novel, huge issue with the decline in the bees. That really worried me for a while, and I started looking into it and learned about the collapse disorder, and then went beyond that and started following the money and understanding that it was a much bigger picture than what I initially understood it to be, with all the ideas that were flowing quite consistently amongst different parties.
Collapse disorder, that's not a nomenclature for narcolepsy, is it?
I don't think they're sleeping. No, it's... All the bees were abandoning their homes midway through the seasons, and there were very few left over, and the ones that were left over were quite ill, so perhaps sleepy in a sense. But it seemed abnormal. It was unnatural. It was definitely an issue, and tracing through all the different information that I came across, and the most consistent theory that was out there is that it was due to the systemic pesticides and the genetically modified organisms that are readily available on our shelves. And then diving into that a bit further, started to realize that it was much larger than just the bees. You know, it was certainly affecting us as humans and our diets, and a grander scheme of depopulation agenda is something that's thrown out there with great consistency as well.
And 25,000 plus species going extinct every year or every day or something ridiculous like that.
Exactly. A massive concern, not looking after our communities, and that including our agricultural communities. We're so heavily reliant upon it. We're not going to do well without them, that's for sure.
Well, it reminds me of what happened when, during the first Great Depression. I think at the time 90% of people were living in rural areas growing their own food. 10% of people lived in cities and didn't grow their own food. I think like 10 million people starved to death in the United States at the time. And that was when the population was like, 100 million or something, maybe less.
Wow.
And now it's like 400 million with 90% of people living in cities, not growing their own food. What's going to happen if a depression hits?
Exactly. That's exactly it. People, and the trust in what is readily available to people and where it comes from, is a massive concern as well. I mean, people don't understand what they're consuming. I find I'm in North America at the moment, and I find it very difficult to consume food here, because a lot of it is imported from places that are repetitively targeted with the genetically modified food that's out there, the USA being one of them. I mean, I can't state any of this for fact, but there's certainly theories that are consistent. And that's where it all comes from. And they're fruits and vegetables that are out of season, and you know they're out of season, and they have no flavor, and you consume it and you feel a little bit ill later. And who feels sick after a salad, you know? Like, doesn't make any sense.
It's like, well, I think I abandoned the belief that it was all happening by accident nearly 5 years ago, namely because it couldn't happen by accident. There's so many different fail-safes and different possibilities, thought processes, vetting processes and things of that nature involved in food preparation, farming practices, distribution, etc., that for the entire food supply to be accidentally contaminated with things mm-hmm. that reduce your fertility and increase cancer, that have no processable vitamins or minerals or nutritions into it, see a massive obesity epidemic growing, for which you give a pharmaceutical drugs, which you make a hell of a lot of money on, which also causes exactly. obesity, incidentally, which feeds back into it. I see somebody has turn society into a meat grinder. People go in one end, meat comes out the other. Just like in Judge Dredd.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, during the World War, in the UK, I was just there a little while ago, and I was speaking to them about the decline of bees in the UK, and they're trying to actually reintroduce bees from New Zealand back into the UK again, because they decimated their crops. Well, the intention was to grow more food to be able to look after the troops and look after their communities. But what they did in that process, and I'm sure people at the time were educated about what they were actually doing, was they were destroying natural habitats in the process. So you're destroying natural habitat in which these bees particularly live in, and then expecting fantastic crops to grow, and it didn't, obviously, because they went through massive food shortages. The agricultural business failed miserably, and the intents just didn't follow through. And I'm sure that there were people educated enough to realize that that was what they were doing. And you can still see remnants of it now, and the ecosystem will never get back to what it used to be in the UK, at least without a solid, consolidated effort by every person. It's going to be incredibly difficult.
Especially if they continue the amount of chemtrailing that they're doing.
Oh, wow. The chemtrails over there were something spectacular. I'll tell you what. Having a glass of water that would change its flavor from almost day to day. And I was there during harvest season as well. So that's a great excuse to get those planes up there, you know? And within minutes, the beautiful blue sky would be gray and overcast for the rest of the day. And it was really quite bizarre. And scary, you know, because I was working on the edit of my book, and I was like, well, there it is, you know. The proof is in the custard or something. I don't know what that's saying.
The proof is in the pudding.
That's the one. Thank you. Yeah, it was 100% there. And trying to discuss it with family members in a genteel manner, I found very, very difficult to do, because it was something that I felt very passionately about. And they were open. They were very respectful of my opinions, but obviously they had theirs as well. But it was beyond anything I've seen before, particularly during that harvest season, because it wasn't so bad when I got there. But yeah, as soon as those crops started coming down, it was phenomenal.
Sabotaging the harvest, eh?
Well, that's it. Sabotaging the harvest, having a great excuse to have those planes flying over, because a lot of people are under the impression that it assists with the harvest.
And I'm sure it's just a coincidence that Monsanto released aluminium-resistant seeds. And then when the drought strikes, I'm sure it's also a very good coincidence that they've got drought-resistant seeds too.
Well, that's it, you know. They've got some bloody smart people working for them. It's just they're in the wrong industry.
I think they're in the right industry, because... What's the difference between intelligence and wisdom? Right? I was just thinking about this. You could kill somebody and take their money. be a smart move, right? Especially if it was enough money. And if you could get away with the murder, that seems like an intelligent killer. It's not a very wise person, though.
No.
Yeah. It's kind of like you have a ripple effect with everything that you do in your life. Everybody listening to this broadcast right now has a potential that this might actually bring them to some new realization today, some kind of aha moment, etc. Like, maybe I should quit my job and start writing a book too. Yeah. you know, and I would say that that's probably one of the most freeing things you can do is just say, frack it. You give up everything that you currently got and you do what feels right instead.
And society is not the most accepting of that. It's been an interesting ride for the last almost year working on the book. I mean, I did have jobs at the beginning, but I was very lucky to have a partner at the time that was very supportive of it, and I worked with him on his businesses. But the priority focus was on the book. And I was very lucky to have that opportunity, and I seized that with every part of myself possible. But, you know, you taught from a young age, especially in the artist realm as such, oh, you'll never make any money from that. You're going to be a starving artist, you know, and that rings in your head over and over again. But at the end of the day, if you've got something to say, I think it's really important, if you've got the ability to translate it, to do it. Mm. I'm a big supporter of artists.
Well, I think it's kind of like you get this compulsion to do what you, it's not like you think it out and you plan everything in meticulous detail. What was it Tesla said? It's not 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. It's actually 99% inspiration. That's where all the best things in your life will ever come from, is from your inspiration and not ignoring it.
That's it. And it could also be viewed as intuition as well, which I guess some people view as a sort of hippie term as such, but your gut instinct's bloody important as well in that, in combination with the inspiration too. It's just knowing that it's right.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, intrinsically. And part of what's happening to society, I think, is we've become quite detached from what makes us really, really special, like in the so-called animal kingdom and whatnot. I don't see any other animals building complex machines. I don't see them trying to explore space. You know, I haven't seen no secret mosquito UN council meeting or something like that where they talk about how much blood they can scheme off the human race today. There's probably ones with bankers who do that, but the difference being that I think we've been given a choice. We've got all these abilities, both normal and paranormal, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if we choose not to use them, then all it is just a wasted opportunity, nothing more, nothing less. And it's kind of like when parents see their children off to college or high school or something like that, their great hope is that they'll learn how to take care of themselves and won't need to be mothered or fathered anymore. Mm-hmm. But you always let that support still be there if they really need it. And I think that's kind of the human race's relationship with God. You know, go for your life, son. I'm here if you need my help, in a spiritual sense of the word. But
yeah,
other than that, you're pretty much on your own, son.
Time to jump out of the nest.
Yeah.
Which is important. It's really important for us to learn how to be self-sustainable. But maybe that's what society's forgotten, is self-sustainability at the end of it all. I mean, how many people are prepared for should the worst happen? And I mean, I can't predict years. I mean, I haven't done nearly enough research to start making predictions. But, you know, how many people can say that they have that storage of food set aside, or, you know, the ability to be able to live in a house that's completely self-sustainable from electricity, and being able to build a fire and being able to grow your own crops? And there's not many. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I would love to learn. I'm allowed myself the time to do it. It is definitely on my list. But I think it's an important factor of learning how to survive on your own. Wilderness survival, you know?
Well, that and the kind of Walking Dead scenario where you'd be where you'd be surrounded by zombies and everything like that, and you're going to wind up having to fend for yourself. I think that's more or less just a just an analogy of just daily life in general. You know, you're walking around, you're surrounded by freaking zombies who're just trying to take everything from you, and everybody else is your enemy, and what have you. You've got a close-knit community, et cetera. But other than that, the world's gone to crap.
And even with those scenarios that are being thrown around a lot at the moment, like The Walking Dead and all the zombie movies coming out and everything, they isolate people very quickly. I mean, people are very distrusting of each other. They don't band together as a community and fight together as one. It's very much a cliquey sort of environment. And us as human beings, it's our natural desire to be a part of something.
Oh, we're tribal.
As a tribe or a village or it's within our makeup, but you know, the wonderful media out there with all those fantastic advertisements or commercials, whatever you want to call them, you know, it's all about keeping us apart. I mean, in Toronto, they don't even have video stores anymore. I mean, if you wanted to have the chill out night with your friends and stuff, you load it all onto a TV. You don't have all the video stores are closed down except the niche market one. There's only one that I know of as well. So it's keeping people separated in their homes. And, you know, and all these an insane amount of television shows. It's scary. But, yeah, trying to defeat a very important aspect of what makes us human.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Tribalism is part of our makeup, just like parabens. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We are sponsored by the Range of Illusion by Bryony Holmes. Ladies and gentlemen, the wonderful book is on the homepage there. It's also another book, The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton. Check out our other sponsors as well, The High Tea Cafe in New Lynn and The Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga. Also, the wonderful Blue Shield, which can broadcast a signal that's stronger than the other electromagnetic radiation signals and stuff coming off of your electronic devices. When you broadcast a stronger signal over the top of other radio frequencies, every single radio frequency tends to get cancelled out and just tune into the most of highly available signal. So that's what this one does. You either have a little portable one that has a radius of a couple of meters, or you can have a plug-in one that has a radius of like 15, 20 meters as industrial models as well. So you can basically bathe any space that you want in a protective shield, so that way your cells don't get degraded from all of this radiation and all of that kind of stuff going on. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Author of The Range of Illusion, a Provinces novel. A Story of Secrecy, A Saga of the Self, and A Citizen's Search for Truth, right there on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back, Bryony.
Hello.
Now, what actually got you started looking into, shall we say, the truth? Because I don't know how it happens for everybody. It's different, I think. And a lot of people never start looking for the truth. They're quite happy to drink beer and watch sports games on TV for their entire life and work a slave job that they hate that doesn't inspire them creatively. I don't understand the mentality, but...
There was a few factors. I've always been very, very questioning from a young age. I discovered the Easter Bunny didn't exist by writing a letter to him after my parents had gone to bed. So there's definitely been a questioning personality to me. One of them was going into a supermarket about 8 years ago and seeing the size of chicken. And I was like, that's not right. And the person I was with was like, oh, no, that's normal. I was like, no, that's not, there's no way that that's normal. And started researching into that to a certain degree. At the time, it was unfortunate because I wasn't around a group of people who would be comfortable discussing the ideas. But as time wore on, I started to find those people and started discussing it and started realizing that there was a lot more to it. The conflict in media, I've always had a strong... mainstream media. I don't want to use too negative of a word, but I'm going to do it. Distestation of it, just never agreed because the information would change from day to day. It would conflict with itself. So I actually went off finding my own information from there on in because I was getting frustrated. I wanted to know what was going on in the world, but the information I knew that was being provided wasn't accurate. So yeah, there was a few different ideas floating around. There was readily available documentaries that were great sources for information that you could branch from, such as Zeitgeist. The first movie was had quite an impression on me, and I started researching from there and trying to find those common ideas and theories. And it just kind of branched out and jumped into the rabbit hole and never really came back.
Mm-hmm. Did you go through the stages of depression?
Yep, I won't lie. It was very, very hard to process. I think the main frustration from it was the fact that I was only learning now, and I felt like I'd wasted some time. I gradually started to get over it when I watched Thrive was a nice documentary for that because it is full of hope and positivity. Zeitgeist can be quite heavy-hitting as a first sort of intro to that world of information. It was the frustration more than anything else that got me down, which I had to let go of because I wasn't going to be productive with that mindset. So I kicked myself in the behind and started putting my information down in an artistic manner.
Well, at least you found an outlet. I think it was kind of pretty similar to me. I mean, my outlet was filmmaking and, ranting bollocks, so naturally I became a YouTuber and talk show host. But it occurs to me that without the outlets, it's kind of like, you know, when you're really, really sad, but you're not sad enough to cry, and you stay mm-hmm. sad longer?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like that. Getting the content out there and expressing what it is that you truly feel is a way of actually dealing with these things that you see and these things that you know.
That's it. And being in a world where, I guess the terminology conspiracy theorists is condoned, you know, and obviously theorist was added on there for a reason, but discussing these to some people, to people who are unawares, to them, which are outlandish ideas, you get called some pretty interesting terms, you know, and I think a big part of it is getting involved in the community and being able to discuss these ideas openly. And that's how you learn further as well, is by discussing and by sharing knowledge or receiving knowledge. That's what it's really about. And then you grow within it as a person. You feel like you're progressing further because there's a mountain of information. It's never ending. And it, I found that that was something I had to accept, is I was never going to know it all. But I take great enjoyment out of researching on a daily basis, at least something, to grow upon what I already have.
Mm. You ever heard of the story of the cosmic schmuck?
No, I haven't. Please do share.
Well, how do you know if you're the cosmic schmuck?
There's no way of knowing.
No, there is. If you never question whether or not you're the cosmic schmuck.
Ah, fair play.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about this earlier. It's how do you know if you're still good? It's if you question whether or not you've become evil.
Very valid.
That's how you know you're still intelligent. Is you still question whether or not you're not. Am I a dumbass? You see, and I was thinking this, our rigidly held beliefs, if they're not analysed and reviewed on a regular basis, become the very beliefs that turn us into exactly the opposite of what we believe ourselves to be.
That's it. Constantly questioning everything.
You know, even things that you've already questioned and already come to conclusions on, you know, maybe I'll just question them again, you know.
I got 5 minutes before my next meeting. Let's do it. No, it's I forgot the word I was going to use. It's, for lack of a better word, it's bloody important to keep addressing what your belief system is, because we constantly change as human beings as well. And the information is always growing out there too. And it's being released gradually, and people are constantly researching. And I mean, that was what some of our greatest inventors ever did, was they constantly questioned what they were doing. It's innate within us to do so. It's just, you know, people are scared of what they're going to find a lot of the time.
Mm. Well, and they should be. You get what you pay for.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's no joke, son. You know, this is the scariest freaking world ever, man. I mean, it would be nice if all the really horrible things that you see in the movies, like all the tortures, the rapes, the mass killings and shootings and things of that nature, weren't real and inspired by true events, if they were actually totally fictional, as the disclaimers suggest.
Mm.
But it's not. I can assure you there's no creativity left in Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever the hell they're putting in front of you that looks horrific and nasty, I can assure you there is stuff that is real, that is happening, that is far worse than they could ever come up with.
Yep, I agree with that.
That's the dark part. And this goes into the point, if you're going to be thinking positively, again, try and challenge that belief. Try to think incredibly negatively for a second, like how much negativity really is there? Can you fill yourself up with it? Can you imagine the pain and suffering of 40 million people on food stamps, for example? Can you understand the feeling of loss of mothers all across America who have lost soldiers in wars for oil? Mm. There's so much pain. So much suffering in every single spectrum. It doesn't matter which sector of society. Everybody's traumatized in some way, shape, or form and still going through it. Even the people who look really well adjusted and what have you. I've spoken to some gurus and all of that kind of thing, but they're just like me. They are in pain, and the only way that they can keep the pain from overtaking their life is to heal other people, because they're incapable at the moment to heal themselves. So they're trying to make do of a bad situation.
I agree with that. Really do. It's once again the community aspect that we were discussing earlier. You know, joining each other together and trying to be the best person that you can possibly be in any situation, bringing light to somebody's day under any circumstances, you know, and just approaching somebody with a smile can go a million miles. It's very simple, but it does work. It really does.
Well, it quite literally can go a million miles, because you have a look at these studies that have come out. Have you seen these studies where they have a look and they track smiles?
I haven't seen the smiles ones, but I've seen similar stuff. But go ahead. Yeah. I'd like to look at them.
It was kind of like Oh.
Paying it forward?
No. You know brain synapse, how they fire and they go round in circles and they go in, and they seem to go in random directions, and there's a lot of activity, and as certain electrons fire in particular parts of the brain, it sets off all these trees of electricity that go shoo, when people are locking in memories or thinking really hard and things like that. It's so similar, just tracking the movement, the direction, the smile, and the amount of people for whom that smile carries over to, that's what it's like. It's kind of like a tree of electric light that's kind of permeating out with ripple effects across an entire city by one or two or 10 people smiling at a completely random person, who will pass that on average 7 people, and each of those 7 people will pass it on to an average of 6 people, and then so on and so on. It dissipates, but because of the fact that they're going on around and around and around, it never gets lower than 3, and so it's always exponentially growing itself. So it gets to the point where you realize that me opening my mouth to reveal my teeth at a completely random stranger in a very friendly fashion for absolutely no reason can literally change the entire consciousness level of a city.
I believe that, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. So when people lose hope, I think it's because they forget how easy it is to make a difference.
Mm.
You just have to get the hell out of your own way.
That's it. That's exactly it. We're our own worst enemies when it comes to that. We can only expect other people to do so much for us. We've got to take responsibility for ourselves, you know?
Procrastination doesn't help a terribly large amount with that. And we all do it from time to time. I am so...
Of course.
So guilty of that.
I definitely do.
Yeah. Well, at least we can admit this to ourselves. I really hate those people who just can't admit any of their flaws at all. You know, they go, ask them, hey, do you have any flaws? And they go, flaws. It's like, dude, are you the frickin' almighty? No. Are you the Prime Minister of Israel? No? Then you're not all powerful. I was just joking there. Obviously, yeah, not implying anything. The other element the other element in this whole kind of getting activated and getting out there, which I think is probably the most important, or at least it was for me, is feeling like you don't have a choice. When your back's against the wall, where you can't cope with whatever's going on, and you have no choice but to change, that's when you get off your ass. And you don't sit back down on it for a while, I think.
You have to. It's got to be done, because that's when you don't want to get caught in that vicious circle, you know? Well, and that's where, I mean, just something as small as... one of my characters in a book, I won't give a spoiler, but there is a moment where there is a need for a change in perception. And I'm trying to do this without a spoiler. An unpleasant situation occurs and it changes her perception immediately. You know, the clouds go over and they go gray, and she's taught that it's a matter of her changing her own perception, that she's still in the same beautiful place that she was in. It's just she's chosen to view it in another manner. And for us to go out with that attitude of choosing our attitude first thing in the morning, waking up out of bed and going, I'm going to be in a good mood today and I'm going to share that with people, it makes a world of difference. For ourselves, for the community, for everybody around us.
Hmm.
You know? I mean, I love the random smiles on the street. It changes your perception, but we're also responsible for taking control of that too. First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
No wrong side of the bed, you know?
Well, yeah, yeah. Although, I like this Limp Bizkit song, Break Stuff. What was it? There's a lot of swear words in it. I'll see if I can remember it. Some days when you don't want to wake up, everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. And you don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. Some days you do wake up angry. I've just been wondering, do I dream and then wake up feeling angry from my dream and then not being able to remember it? Or when I wake up, is it because I'm living the dream that I'm so angry I can't sleep very well?
That's a really interesting question. That's hard out on the psychology aspect of things. I mean, I think both aspects have validity in that for sure. I won't lie. Sometimes I still wake up a little grumpy, but it's a daily practice. It certainly is. And it takes a huge amount of discipline to be aware of your perception. I mean, it's like being aware of every single breath that you take. And some people in the world are aware of every single breath and appreciate every breath that they take. I'm definitely not there, but it's a training program. It's a discipline, I think. And being aware of it constantly, which is, not easy. Easier said than done, for sure.
Mm-mm. Well, I think if you don't experience struggle, you don't grow. You know, it's just that simple.
Agreed.
I'm 6'4". You know how I got this big? Through massive, really, extremely excruciating bad growing pains when I was a teenager. Mm. It was nasty. All right? But now I'm huge. You know, and I think it's the same for us all, psychologically speaking. You know, it's like, I don't know, what is it with some people that they think that, oh, I've got my qualifications at school or university now, suddenly I don't have to think. And it's like, well, dude, actually, when you were at school and when you were doing university, they weren't teaching you to think anyway. They weren't teaching you critical thinking. They were trying to teach you how to be critical of people who can still think despite being educated. All right.
Well said.
That's the thing. You've got to ostracize and what's the thing? Silo mentality, all the kids out, you know, tell them they're brighter than everybody else and everybody else is just a dumb cog in the machine by comparison to you. You're great. You're brilliant. You're going to be the new rulers of the world. You're going to be the elite, blah, 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 blah. And you get people so full of themselves that they lose respect for everybody else, including themselves.
And then they lose themselves. Yeah. It's as you said before, I mean, you grow from it, right? You learn from your mistakes. I mean, that saying didn't come from nowhere. It's about applying the information afterwards and realizing that there was a lesson learned and applying it, perhaps. I mean, that's a theory. Once again, easier said than done, but it's in hindsight, you know, looking back on things and realizing how you grew as a person, because I mean, as I was saying, with all this information going through it and first initially trying to understand what was going on and the frustration at realizing how much time I'd lost, in hindsight, at least I found some information and I'm developing a collection of thoughts and theories and ideas that I can apply to a form of art. I'm very lucky to have been able to work that out, but there's certain triggers that happen that we can easily miss if we're not sort of tuned in.
Well, it's about just kind of like awareness, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll walk into a room and I'll go Masonic floor, pyramid in the corner, and then another person looks at, walks into the same room and goes, oh, orchids.
Yeah.
You know, you gain a new level of awareness and everything suddenly looks different. It's almost like it's almost being colorblind, and then all of a sudden you walk in and now you see things in full living color.
Mm.
You know? I think that's the amount of difference. I did like a oh my God, this really long rap. It was just ridiculous. I would really love to actually read it out to you because it's actually freaking hilarious. Like just how funny a normal day in a shall we say conspiracy theorist life is, because everything's infinitely worse because you're not ignorant of everything that you see. Have you noticed that?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. You can't miss a beat. I mean, we're surrounded by so many different propaganda models at the moment, and trying to see through them is imperative to understanding what's going on in the world and knowing what to research on certain days and where to find the information and trying to discern the truth from these big issues that are currently going on. You know, with Syria, for example, everybody thought that the United States was going to stay away from that. And I was like, oh, I don't know. This seems, terrible situation. But yeah, lo and behold, the United States was trying their hardest to get in there. With everybody viewing it with such positivity of, oh, no, we'll go in, we'll go and help, we'll help assist in the situation. But I don't know, it's a very... I need to probably research a little further before bringing it up, but it was a similar situation where I was viewing it with a little bit of negativity and angst, and it was a terrible situation to witness anyways. And then just knowing that the follow-through from that wasn't going to be as positive as it should have been, you know, assisting a common country in a time of need.
Mm. Well, it is a very serious situation, and one might even call it quite a sad. The whole thing about Syria is $700 billion pipeline from Israel through the Ukraine. Incidentally, they bomb Syria, then they're taking out the Ukraine. Oh, how does this work, this geopolitics thing? You know? I mean, it's just these tiny bits of information. That's all they need to put into the mainstream media in order to make everybody suspicious of scumbaggery, but they never do. They never put into... I mean, they give you 30 seconds of information. And sure, the information that they're reporting is often accurate. But what they'll do is they'll miss out 90% of the important stuff and cover 10% that doesn't really matter. And as a result, nobody thinks it matters at all. And doesn't question it any further, do they? Isn't that a problem? That other people have as well as me. Am I the only one who sees this happening? Am I the only one who thought to myself, you know what? The media is totally full of crap.
You're not alone.
Yeah. With no training, no credibility, I'm better at the media than the media is.
Agreed.
And that's because they don't have any credibility either, except the difference between them and me is they claim that they are credible, whereas I have never done so. I've always claimed, of course, that I am incredible.
It's a matter of, I think, correct me if I'm wrong in saying what you do is free thought media.
New media.
From the discussions that I've heard you do, is there's a lot. There's good banter. It's healthy. It's two people coming to. Some kind of not a verdict, but trying to deduct to a certain form of truth, like an idea that is valid. Whereas the mainstream media, I mean, you get some people who are actually intelligent, and they get shut down off you know, CNN or one of Murdoch's his many media empires, and they have something credible to say, and their microphone switched off, you know, like.
It happens all too often, unfortunately. Brian E. Holmes is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, author of The Range of Illusion. The book is available on the homepage of thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Also, don't forget the other book there, The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton. In fact, that gives me an important point, because not only is the show about sort of awakening and looking at things from a different perspective, maybe even going into a little bit of the absurd and even fiction itself in order to discern truth, but on the same time, it's actually making a new business model. Okay, previously, business has been about committing the most scumbaggery and extorting the most amount of money for the least amount of effort. I think business needs to change from that upper echelon model to what it used to be, perhaps what it should be, where you provide a good service and or product and people give you money so that you can continue to provide that service and provide those products. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is a service for activists, thinkers, people all over the world. People have a person, at least, I don't know if anybody else would have confessed, but was prevented from committing suicide without me even knowing about it, simply by listening to this show, realizing that there is hope, that there is laughter amidst all the scumbaggery, no matter how much your family disses you, no matter how much of a scumbag your boss is, or anything like that. If you listen to this show, you can have a laugh and you can deal with it. People value that a lot, more than I even realize. I could never even conceive of giving anybody $500 for nothing. You know, I don't have that kind of money. I don't know what somebody would be doing in order to justify that kind of thing. I've been given donations like that, and larger. And just the cost of living alone, just surviving, is actually quite expensive, and it's getting even worse these days, isn't it? So please, ladies and gentlemen, your contributions, in the crowdfunding sense of the word, for your subscriptions and your donations to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, are the principal reason why the show still exists and has been going strong for a good 4 years. So go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. We'll be back.